18 elite special operations snipers hid inside the city, picking targets and reporting back on enemy movements. Polish snipers working alongside U.S. forces had been given less restrictive rules of engagement by their government, said a senior U.S. intelligence official with direct access to information about them. The Poles could kill people we couldn't, he said. For example, American snipers couldn't shoot unless they saw a weapon in the target's hands, while the Poles were allowed to fire at anyone on the streets of Fallujah holding a cell phone after 8 p.m. They had an 80% kill rate at 600 yards, the intelligence official said. That's an incredible range. For the first several days, the Marines and the Army moved southward across the city. After 10 days of fighting, U.S. forces captured the city, killing at least 1,000 insurgent fighters, and by some estimates, perhaps twice that. But most of the fighters had left the city before the fighting began, with some launching attacks elsewhere. U.S. casualties were 54 dead and 425 seriously wounded, with 8 Iraqi Allied soldiers lost and 43 wounded. Then, said Captain Winslow, the heavy lifting begins, going from room to room, clearing the city, pulling the weapons caches out. All told, that clearing phase, checking every one of 20,000 to 30,000 structures in the city at least 2 or 3 times, took about 6 weeks. During this phase, U.S. troops uncovered 2 car bomb factories, 24 bomb factories, and 455 weapons caches. They also found 3 hellish buildings where hostages had been kept and tortured. One Iraqi prisoner was discovered alive, chained and stuffed into a crawl space, presumably left to starve and die. In another building, corpses were found in cells with their legs chopped off, their wounds apparently inflicted while they were still alive. It was mind-numbingly manual labor, under terrifically difficult conditions, under fire in many cases, Winslow said, showing a photograph of a group of Marines crouching in combat postures while the one in front of them swung a big sledgehammer at a padlocked metal gate. The firepower expended in Second Fallujah was extraordinary, especially for a battle that came long after victory had been declared and the military was supposed to be engaged in peacekeeping. The amount of ammo we have fired since the operation has kicked off is staggering and continues to climb, one Marine tank commander recorded. My company has fired close to 1,600 main gun rounds, over 121,000 7.62mm rifle ammunition rounds, and over 49,000 heavy machine gun caliber 50 rounds. Underscoring what a close fight it was, he said that nearly all targets fired on were within 200 meters. Overall, the Marines fired 4,000 artillery rounds and 10,000 mortar shells into the city, while warplanes dropped 10 tons of bombs. At least 2,000 buildings were destroyed, and another 10,000 were badly damaged, the historian West estimated after reviewing unit logs. This amount was expended by a force that had entered Iraq 8 months earlier, hoping not to use airstrikes or artillery fire against the insurgents. This extraordinary round of fighting in Fallujah tended to overshadow the smaller battles that broke out elsewhere around the same time. In Mosul, insurgents launched a swift and effective uprising in support of the fighters in Fallujah, causing some 3,200 of the 4,000 members of the city's police force to desert. Those who remained came under heavy attack. An advisor to an Iraqi police commando unit, Army Colonel James Kaufman, Jr., was in the middle of a 4-hour-long firefight in which 12 of the Iraqi commandos were killed and another 42 wounded. At one point, according to an Army document, his shooting hand was shattered and his M4 rifle damaged, forcing him to pick up AK-47s from casualties and fire with his other hand. At another, an RPG exploded against the wall behind him. The battle only ended 4 hours later, when U.S. Stryker armored vehicles and attack helicopters finally arrived on the scene. Of his attackers, Colonel Kaufman, who later received the Distinguished Service Cross, the second highest award for valor, told the Berkshire Eagle, his hometown paper, "They were organized, they were disciplined, and they had well-placed firing plans." It isn't clear why it took so long for the Army to come to the rescue. Kaufman said by email that he was in communication with the U.S. military through a Thuraya satellite phone, and that he had provided his grid coordinates, that is, his precise location on a military map. I really have no good answer why there was a delay on the strikers responding to reinforce the Iraqi police commandos, he said.